good as gold.
Question was asked, do we have some tips and tricks for making the most of your studies? Okay, so I would divide our studies into two segments, two categories. One is acquiring knowledge and the other is acquiring skill. And I don't believe the two should be confused. When you're studying in Ulpan, you're acquiring a skill. When you're studying Talmud in the morning, you're acquiring skills. Your study during parts of the day is about gaining skills. How to learn Talmud, how to learn Mishnah, how to understand Hebrew. It's all skills. Now, part of your day, you also have to spend in acquiring knowledge. And acquiring knowledge could be reading an English book on Halacha, reading the Book of Our Heritage, reading biographies, coming to my classes. My classes are focused on knowledge, not skills. I'm saying if you divide your classes, your morning classes have a large amount of stress on skills. They're teaching you how to learn things. In my classes, there's very little stress on skill. My goal is to give information. That's why we cover ground in my classes. We just did the whole book of Shoftim in 20 minutes, okay? Our goal is information in my classes, not skill set. In your own learning, you have to divide it. When it comes to knowledge, and a little bit the skill set, but review is key. And one of the most important reviews which people overlook is the review right after you learned it. You just finished learning. When we end class, none of you should leave your seats. You should all sit down for 3 minutes and just review, what did I just learn? I try to do it at the end of each class to review what we learned today. Because that review starts solidifying what you learned. The second review, which is tremendously beneficial, is before you go to sleep at night. If you take 5 minutes to look over what you learned today, take each subject and give it a minute and a half, you'll suddenly start locking things into your mind. The next review, which is a powerhouse review, which really solidifies what you learned, is when you're lying in bed before you fall asleep, especially if you've done a review just before going to bed. When you're lying in bed and you have nothing in front of you and you're trying to fall asleep, start asking yourself, what did I do today? You will gain a completely different perspective on what you learned. Just thinking in bed, lying in bed and trying to review your day, trying to review what you've learned. Now, note-taking is good for two reasons. A, it gives you the ability to review, but B, when you actually write notes, you understand what you've done much better. I don't know if you guys noticed, when I meet with you, I take notes. Because if I'm writing as I'm listening, then I understand you better. And that allows me, as we're talking, to also look at a broader picture. I'm listening to what you're saying now, but I could quickly see what you said a minute ago. So I could look at the broader picture. Note-taking is a form of learning. It's not only a tool for review. I will sometimes take notes and put them in the Gniza at the end of the learning. I'm not holding on to those notes. I'm never going to read them again. But they're a tool for learning. They're not only a tool for reviewing. So note-taking is a phenomenal tool for understanding what we're learning. And this is one of the rules that help us focus and understand the information and retain it. And that is, do you synthesize? Do you process the information? Learning is not only about hearing information, it's also doing something with it. So when you summarize, when you take notes, you've taken that information and put it in your own words. You've condensed it. The mere fact that you did something with it in your mind makes it that you will now retain it much better. And that's why note-taking is so powerful. Note-taking with pen or pencil, not with a laptop. Doing this somehow does not hit the brain the way doing this does. I don't know why, but that's the way it works. Something phenomenal happens between the mind and the hand as you write, as opposed to typing. Okay, now we come to the actual learning. So there's a concept called biorhythms. Our life goes in waves. There are times in the day when we're more focused, less focused, and when you can analyze within yourself at which times you're more and less focused, so then you can be more productive, because you realize there are times in the day where you'd be better off studying something easier. I remember after lunch, I was always tired. So I didn't need to sleep. I just couldn't exert myself mentally. So after lunch, I'd always learn Tanakh. That was my time for Tanakh learning. There are hours in the day where my focus is weak. So during those hours, I try to take stuff that's interesting, stuff that I can do more easily. So pace to tap into your biorhythms. Pays not to eat sweet foods in the morning. Sweet foods tire us, salty foods keep us awake. Reconsider whether you want to drink coffee every morning. Very often it's not good for your focus, the coffee or the sugar rush in the long run in the morning. One of the most important things you could do when you're learning is sleep. Even if you can be productive and successful in other areas of life, unless sleep, learning Torah and Talmud specifically, and Ulpan, these things take a lot out of your brain. And you need a good sleep in order to succeed at that. Good sleep involves going to sleep early, not waking up late, okay? So that means we need to have a certain bedtime, and that has to be an important goal in our life. Going to sleep at night in the right time. Might be you have to postpone or reorganize the times you make phone calls or sit on the computer or whatever. But getting good sleep is key. Another thing that's key is having set breaks. Very often people sit down to learn and they can sit in front of an open sefer and schmooze for half the time. We have to get into the habit that when we're learning, and when we're not, we're not. My chavrusas in yeshiva, when they start talking to me, I say, okay, we're done learning. No, we're not done learning. Well, are we learning or talking? I'm happy to talk. Let's walk out of the base medrash and talk. When we're talking, we're talking. When we're learning, we're learning. So a person should try to be disciplined. That when you're learning, focus on the learning. Now, we also have to take breaks. Usually people don't take enough breaks, so then their learning isn't learning, because they try to learn 3 hours straight. You might be much better off being focused for 35 minutes. The average person in our generation can focus 35 minutes or 45 minutes, somewhere between that range. Most people cannot focus for longer than that. You'll notice that my classes switch topics every 35 minutes max, except for the parsha, which is all stories. But other than that, I never stay on a topic more than 35 minutes. And the reason is because our focus can only hold on to something for 35 minutes in our generation. Again, there's a range. Some people can go 45 minutes, but that's it. Most people, when they do more than that, they're less productive, not more. There are exceptions. And as you develop your stamina, you'll find that you can focus for more time at a time. You know, kids who get used to it, there are yeshivas where shiur, their class runs for 2 hours straight. And it's a high-level shiur. But that's because they're used to it. Rabbi Soloveitchik's shiur was never less than 3 hours. When he gave a real shiur, there were 3 hours of intense. You know, I remember when I went to Tells, shiur lasted for maybe an hour and a half. But in that hour and a half, I took more notes than a whole month's worth of notes in the yeshiva I was in beforehand. 1 month and 1 day, boom, I'd fill like half a notebook. Because it was a phenomenal shiur. Rav Dov Barkin, Zichrono Livracha, Zichet Tzadik Livracha, his shiur was amazing. So we're not used to that. So if we're not used to that, we have to work with what we can handle. Most of the time when I go over people's schedules with them, I tell them you don't have enough breaks. You need to insert more breaks in your day. I prefer an organized, structured break where you know, this time I'm taking a 10-minute break. Go out, schmooze, but then when you come back, be focused on your learning. Don't come into Beis Medrash with a cell phone. You want to learn, be focused. Are you on your phone or are you learning? If you're learning, then your cell phone doesn't belong here. My cell phone's in the office. Except for when I'm on call or something, my wife's in her 9th month, someone has questions from a hospital, who knows what. I'm not here with my cell phone. Because if I'm learning with you, my cell phone doesn't belong here. Right? Again, there are exceptions, there are emergencies, but in general, you want to focus, be focused. You can't succeed in studying when every 2 seconds you're looking at your cell phone. That's not focus. And true growth comes through focus. It's important to expand our knowledge. One of the ways to do that is to read biographies. When you read biographies, don't believe everything you read. Look at it as an interesting insight, but don't believe everything. Biographies are exaggerations, and they're filled with lies, and they don't tell you the weaknesses of the people, and they think they're doing you a favor. Recognize that great people had weaknesses too. Great people made mistakes too. And biographies, on one level, are disheartening because they paint people as though they were giants from age 5, and then you feel like, okay, well, I'm not, so I can never get anywhere. And they don't tell you how many times people fell. They don't tell you about the giants of Israel who had tremendous chutzpah when they were kids and were kicked out of schools and the Rabbeim did not enjoy teaching them. They don't tell you these parts of history. They don't tell you about one of the greatest rabbis who's printed in many Tanakhs, who was divorced by age 14. They don't tell you all kinds of interesting vignettes that give you a perspective, the human perspective, of how giants were giants because they overcame weaknesses, because they overcame hardships, because they had failures that they had to overcome. They don't tell you that, so they make it sound like everyone was great from day one. They don't tell you the Chafetz Chaim had an anger problem. So it sounds like, oh, he was a sweet man who always had it good. But then when you hear that, no, he had to work on his anger. He was an angry person. He used to go to the corner and talk to himself and say, Yisrael Meir, just because you're a Kohen doesn't entitle you to get angry. Take it easy. He'd have conversations with himself, calming himself down. You get a perspective. When you hear the Chafetz Chaim had issues with depression, so then it gives you perspective that you can overcome hardships in your life. When you hear the Chafetz Chaim had a year in his lifetime where he couldn't learn Torah, because he had to contend with his mental anguish, so it gives you perspective. Again, some biographies will omit these stories, and then you end up feeling like, oh, I could never be the Chafetz Chaim. But if you read the real story, then you realize, wait, the Chafetz Chaim had hardships. He overcame them, and that's how he became a giant. So when we read biographies, on the one hand, it gives us an interesting perspective and things to aspire to. On the other hand, we have to be careful to realize that many biographies omit important details of a person's lifetime. But nonetheless, they are enriching. It's good to read books on history. It gives perspective to what we're studying. Part of our ability to succeed in Torah is also to try to keep our minds clean. A person has to think about what he does in his off time. And Chazal said, we wish we had two mouths. Because we do all kinds of things with our mouths, and we want to learn Torah with our mouths. And sometimes you wonder, the mouth that just did A, B, C, and D, how could it come and learn Torah? So we want to keep our mouths clean, our eyes clean, our minds clean, and that will help us succeed in learning Torah. We have to realize that no one succeeds overnight. Success takes a long time. We have to be patient. We shouldn't feel like we're competing with our neighbor or the five-year-old son of the rabbi next door. The fact that he grew up knowing Asher Yotzer by heart doesn't mean that you have to feel bad that you don't yet know Asher Yotzer by heart. He has a head start on you. You're not in competition with him. What do you care? Your accomplishments are greater. The Ribbon Shalom doesn't judge us based on someone else. We have to focus on what our tools are, and if I'm doing a good job, then I shouldn't be disheartened because someone else is ahead of me. It's completely irrelevant. As it says in the Mabit, who was a contemporary of Rav Yosef Karo, we are judged based on our own potential at any given time. If my potential is to achieve X, and I achieved X, but the guy next to me, his potential was to achieve 100 times X, and he achieved 90 times X. So I look at him and I say, wow, I only did X, and he did 90 times as much as I did. But you know what? I might be well ahead of him in the world to come. Because if my potential was X, and that's what I did, then I'm great. And if his potential was 100 times X, but he only did 90 times X, then he's going to be taken to task over that. So we don't have to compare ourselves to anyone else. We do have to work on living up to our potential. We have to remember in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'bitrun Yom Briotav, God does not have unfair expectations of us. That means that in order to succeed at our job, we don't have to kill ourselves. We have to be diligent. We have to be healthy. We have to work normally. When people try to put themselves out and they drive themselves crazy, they don't succeed in the long run. You have to be willing to work, you have to be willing to be studious, but you have to realize that you don't have to kill yourself, and killing yourself is counterproductive. So we have to be at peace with ourselves. The more we are at peace with ourselves, the more we'll be able to succeed. Beating ourselves up is the Yetzer Hara. When a person looks at himself and says, oh no, I'm so bad at A and B and C, then he should add a D. The D is, I'm telling myself I'm so bad at this. I shouldn't be doing that. That's not the Yetzer Tov when we sit there and say, oh, I'm bad at A and B and C. That's just disheartening. We have to empower ourselves. But that means that at the end of our day, when we make a cheshbon, a nefesh, we must list the good things we did. People think they should end their day and think, what did I do wrong? I'll be better tomorrow. Maybe. But you can only do that if you have a very good list of what did I do right and go to sleep feeling happy. But if you go to sleep depressed because, oh no, I did so many things wrong, you're doing that wrong. You should not be spending your time counting what you did wrong. We choose a small thing and we say, I want to improve in that. If I say Lashon Hara all day, then I'll try once a day to skip a Lashon Hara. Once. I shouldn't beat myself up at night and say, you know, I said Lashon Hara all day long. Okay, I've been saying Lashon Hara my whole life, maybe. So now I can't change that overnight. Maybe if I accomplished once that I didn't say Lashon Hara, good for me. I'm a great guy. I've moved forward. I'm ahead of where I was yesterday. When we make unfair expectations of ourselves, we end up weakening ourselves, and then we don't grow. The way to grow is to have fair and easy expectations of ourselves. The way to grow is to be able to see all the good that we're doing. To be able to say, I am a good person. To be able to go to sleep at night and feel good about all the good that we've done. That's what empowers us tomorrow to do more good. When we go to sleep and think, oh no, I should have done A or B or C or D, that's when we stop growing. It doesn't drive us to further growth. That's not the way to grow. So, we discussed the importance of note-taking. We discussed biorhythms. We discussed the idea of taking breaks. We discussed being focused. We discussed no cell phone. We discussed purifying our mind, mouth, and eyes. We discussed the idea of Hashem doesn't have unfair expectations of us. Don't compare yourself to the kid. Don't compare yourself to the next guy. We have to work at a normal pace and normal expectations. We have to see the good in what we've done. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we continue to grow.